I'm Julian.
And my name is Kim.
We are in a band from Australia called The Presets.
To many of our listeners, my people is their first exposure to The Presets. So, a little history. Now, according to your site, which I'm not sure how much of it to believe, it all started due to an Italian restaurant at a pasta called Fagatini.
I wouldn't believe much of that, much of that press release at all.
It was very amusing to read.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was pretty amusing for us to read it when we read it the first time as well. But yeah, you'd be surprised how many people actually believe it.
The poor sullen people hanging outside looking for just one more little thing to put on the pizza outside the Italian restaurant, and the other one feeding them to keep them alive.
Oh yeah, it's all metaphoric. Maybe it is true, but just, you've got to read between the lines. Well, Kim and I met at university, or college, as you'd call it here. And we studied music there, and we became friends, and we liked the same kind of music. And we were studying kind of classical music at school. And at night time, we'd go to nightclubs and listen to modern, très modern music. Chemical Brothers and that kind of stuff in the 90s. And we became friends and started making music together. And here, 12 years later now, that we're here in San Francisco again with our band.
Do you think, all kidding aside, that bio does you a disservice based on the truth of the story?
No, not at all. I mean, it's great because it's just fantastic and exotic and silly, and it sort of represents everything that we are, and except the fantastic bit. But, I think it's like, everything we do, we're sort of trying to inject a kind of sense of humour. So, I guess most people will be reading bios, especially industry people will be reading bios about bands that are just so completely boring. So, yeah, I mean.
Not a deeply serious song about how important you are. Oh, man.
The best part about that bio is sometimes you'll get an email interview from some poor writer who's obviously, it's obviously 2 a.m. in the morning, they're trying to do some last-minute research, they see this bio and they write, "So, you guys met in a restaurant, right?" And you think, wow, you must be on a tight deadline if you haven't been able to read between the lines.
I love this line. "If you've ever wondered what they might play when you're standing there staring at the fork in the road between heaven and hell, this could be it." So exactly, where exactly is that fork located?
It's not really the fork between heaven and hell, it's more... it's so hell. It's so deep into hell where it actually becomes heaven. It's like...
it's so hot that you start to enjoy it.
It's so hot, you start to get a bit cold.
It's so hot, even God comes down a couple of times for a bit...
for a dip in the pool.
Yeah, for a dip in the lava.
All kidding aside, for about 10 seconds, when people try to put a label on you like electro house or synth rock... on your MySpace site, you list industrial, psychedelic, techno. On another place, crisp, electronic, future pop. How do you respond to all that? Because in the end, you both were classical musicians. You both studied music, and you're well aware of why you're doing what you're doing.
From a musician's point of view or an artist's point of view, you're just making stuff, and you're making it a serious attempt to make it different to other stuff. So... you don't want to make house music. You don't want to make just techno music. And, whenever people sort of ask us to label it, we always say, that's your job. You're the one who's meant to label it. So, that's our response, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, most musicians don't think about genres or think about labels, They're just thinking about how to wrestle this crap out of them. This music, we're just trying to find a way to get this music out of them. That they're not trying to think of what to call it.
I know, and we've gotten so genre-based,
Yeah, I know, especially with bands these days where it's because there's such a big history of music before us that it's, like, really important for people to cross-label everything. So it's this meets that, and it's, like, getting ridiculous. So, even when you go into a dance music store where you get these, like... blip blop, like, or tech house, or whatever. It's just stupid. But I think that's necessary for people to sell records and stuff. It's necessary for stuff to have a label. But we're just we're more interested in, like, if it gets too generic or if it gets too familiar, of doing something to turn it on its head and and make it sound a bit more original.
So tell me a bit about, I read a little bit about how you record, and I think it is interesting that you, what I read is that you start with the chords of the melodies and the kind of the lyrics come after that. Is that true?
Yeah, generally. I mean, most of our songs, perhaps in the past, a little bit even more. It's always a little bit different. Yeah, usually it starts with a good sound or a good beat or a good synth line or something like that, and the song generally gets built around it. But, I don't know. We haven't really even had a chance to think about how we made this last record. It was so quick. But I guess, I don't know. It generally starts beat first and production first and feel first, like a bed.
Yeah, generally there's like it's obviously not just a drum beat, but a certain atmosphere or mood around a kind of groove, or it mightn't be a super big chord progression yet. It might be four chords that just we respond to, and then that develops, and then blah blah blah. You got a shape, and then vocals get sort of put on top afterwards.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, in the past, the vocals would have been kind of painted on top, or the melodies would have been painted on top, but now it's even more of a case of they kind of get injected inside and explode out like a bunch of spiders. See what I mean? Like, it's not just like, there's the song, it's finished, and then we just paint some vocals on top. It's more like, there's a song, but this vocal line's going to work, so that's going to need to change. So, things get really stripped apart again and broken apart again. Like a song like If I Know You, off the new record, started a certain way and was really strong and we really liked it, but then when the melody started going on top, it totally tore that stuff apart. So it still started with a certain spot, but definitely it's every time you add something new, it just changes the song again.
I think people probably are surprised to hear that this band is from Australia, because the stuff that makes it out to us, meaning the rest of the world to a certain extent, is usually one of two things. It's, the Crowded Houses of the world, and Liam Finn, who I had on my show recently, those kind of people. And then there's like The Living End and Johnny Barnes and the Hoodoo Gurus and all of that, So I imagine like any city, there is a big scene in Sydney and in the country. But does it surprise people that you're not from Manchester?
For us, growing up as musicians and going out, club music was always really important. And club music, especially in Sydney and Melbourne, and clubs, is really quite huge. And all that stuff was big. All that stuff coming out of Manchester and whatever was big in Sydney. But I mean, we were more surprised when we first went to Manchester, that we thought we were gonna like see this amazing thing that was in our heads about Manchester, and we're kind of like surprised to find that it actually wasn't there. So I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm sure there was a great bunch of bands. There's always been a great musical tradition in Northern England, but I'm a bit skeptical about that whole thing built around rave in Manchester. But I mean, at the same time, all that sort of music, like house music and stuff like that, was coming from here. It was coming from Chicago and Detroit. And England and the English press have a real tendency to sort of take something and hype it.
They co-opt it, yes.
Hype the shit out of it and say, we invented it. Like even with punk rock, they, all of a sudden NME like print a front cover saying, this is something we start and we own. So I have a bit of skepticism about the rave stuff, but there's no doubt there's great music that comes out of there. But, at the moment in Australia, it's just a great bunch of bands that are like us doing really good stuff, like-minded, and it's a mishmash of all this sort of, techno and electro and indie rock and stuff. Lots of bands are doing it all over the world, like, Soul Wax and Digitalism and Justice and stuff. And I don't know, it's not just particularly Australian either.
It's exactly the same thing is happening. I mean, everywhere we go overseas, people are always asking us about this new Australian scene, this new wave. And really, you could count the bands on one hand. I mean, it's not a massive scene. It's Cut Copy, Midnight Juggernauts, us, and maybe a couple of others. It's not a huge thing. It's just a few bands. We're sort of friends and we make music that's sincere and from the heart. I mean, that's hardly a new idea.
Now, you've done a lot of remixing too, have you not?
We have done a little bit, yeah. Yeah. We did. We actually done one for Midnight Juggernauts. We did one for Lenny Kravitz. We've done one for a bunch of bands in Australia, like Howling Bells, Architecture in Helsinki, Silverchair.
Great band.
around. Yeah, but we're sort of taking, like, you know, the albums has come out, our time's really been swallowed up by all of this sort of stuff and touring, and also we're kind of making a decision now. Like, I think in our genre of music, in, like, sort of electro pop or whatever you want to call it, I think it's a, there's a real importance on the band being able to be a band and also being able to be remixes. And then you sort of start to see oversaturation of the bands or whatever, which is fine. You know, some people are really good at it, but we sort of want to step back from that now and just, like, be a band.
Some remix people who remix are amazing at it. They do a great job. And we've got some of our friends and some other bands to do remixes of us that we love. So, yeah, I mean, people who can do it, they do it well, and that's great. But, yeah, it is right. I mean, we didn't want to be sort of the presets, the show, the presets, the DJ set, the presets, the remix thing, the presets, the fucking fashion label. You know what I mean? We just wanted to be just a couple of guys who play a fun show.
Kind of an interesting role reversal. The record, the new one, is not out in Europe until June. So it's rare that the U.S. gets music first these days unless it's a domestic band. Was that intentional?
That's because you guys are our buddies.
Yeah, that's how we do, that's how we treat our friends.
On stage, you use, I believe you're still doing, are you still doing the two identical Korgs?
Yeah.
And the retro thing was a definitive choice for many reasons, right?
But we like the sounds of those synths, for sure. I now use another newer synth on stage, as well as the Korg. And this newer one I hate, but it's kind of easier and works better live. But yeah, definitely those old synths are lovely. I mean, that's almost become a cliche, really, with electronic acts. They love old stuff. But I guess it's like rock bands with their nice old guitars from the 60s. I mean, they have a certain tone and character.
And it's a certain look, like they look like they're kind of like a piece of a spaceship and stuff, you know. Yeah.
But I also read that you kind of tried, you know, all sorts of different ways to use the beats, and you just kind of decided that this was the best solution.
Well, so far it is. I mean, you know, we're never exactly confident. How can I put this? I don't know, there's always a better way to do it with me. I feel like, you know, this time it's a little bit different. But yeah, we run stuff off the computer, we strip it all back so that I can play drums over the top, so it's almost like drum karaoke and vocal karaoke. And, you know, I'm just joking, it's really fun.
You're catching Kim at the moment where he's having a bit of anxiety about the production of our show. So it's probably not the best time to ask him about what he thinks of the show. But I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, we use his old synths, we have drums on stage, I sing. We try to make it, you know, a live experience, an entertaining, dramatic show, darling. You know?
And in the, darling, and in the past, you actually attempted to do splits with iPods?
Oh, that's how we, first started doing it, because, you know, we didn't have computers or whatever then, and the computers weren't invented then. And so we had an iPod, and, you know, one side was a bass, one side was a synth, and it was really rough and loud, and I went deaf on those tours. And but yeah, and then we eventually sort of figured out we could split it up, and now we do it. It's very boring to talk about, but it's really exciting to watch.
Basically, we were very poor back then. We used an iPod. Now we're very rich. We have amazing gear. It sounds amazing.
The video for My People has gotten 349,000 views on YouTube.
Oh no, I just want a certain amount of people to really love us, like about 10 people just to really, really love us and, like, you know, kill themselves if we don't make music.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich. It is two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by other artists. Anything you want me to play in between, I play it exactly as you ask for it.
Well, maybe My People should be one slice of bread.
This Boy's in Love, for sure.
Yeah. Nice. Great track. Man, that track is so power pop to me, it's unbelievable. Yeah.